the world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, a military base. We won the race of discovery against the Germans. We have used it in order to shorten the agony of war, in order to save the lives of thousands and thousands of young Americans. We shall continue to use it until we completely destroy Japan's power to make war.
President Harry S. Truman speaking nearly 69 years ago as the United States dropped an atomic bomb on Hiroshima during the Second World War. Earlier this week, the last member of the U.S. crew on that mission died. He was Theodore Van Kirk, and he was 93. As a 24-year-old, Van Kirk was the navigator on board the famous Enola Gay, the B-29 super fortress bomber that dropped the world's first atomic weapon on Japan on August 6, 1945.
Coming back from the mission, there was a minor discussion about, a moderate discussion about the bomb and everything of this type. And somebody made the remark, I think it was Dick Nelson, our radio operator, and he says, I think this war is over.
The decision to drop the bomb had an almost immeasurable consequence. First, of course, on the 140,000 people killed, but also on later generations sickened and on a world cast headfirst into the age of nuclear warfare and assured destruction. Suzanne Dietz joins us. She's Van Kirk's biographer. She chronicled his military life in the book My True Course. Suzanne, hello.
Hello.
Give us a sense of how Van Kirk felt about his role aboard the Enola Gay in his later life.
I think he felt his role really had not changed, even, given the perspective of history and time. He was convinced it was the right thing to do. He had no regrets. He believed it helped shorten the war, and it helped to save lives. The Surgeon General had ordered 470,000 body bags for the initial land invasion of Kyushu, if that had been necessary. So it was not only saving American lives, but it was saving Japanese lives. A lot of the Japanese were homeless, facing hunger. Our own prisoners of war that were being held by Japan were near starvation. And the plan would have been to execute all of our American POWs if there had been a land invasion.
Did Van Kirk sort of embrace his role as one of the airmen aboard the Enola Gay, talk about it, sort of make it part of his identity, or did he try to put it in his past?
I think it was something that he did as part of serving in World War II. He was a father. He was contributed to society, working for DuPont for over 30 years. I don't think it was the focus of his life. It obviously was a part of who he was.
He also made a trip back to Japan in his life and met with Japanese scientists there, correct?
Yes, it was about September 15th. It was, after the signing of surrender on the Missouri. He went back there with Tibbetts, and when they landed, they joined some Japanese scientists to be able to survey the damage. They landed in a little airport, Omura, about 20 miles from Nagasaki. And one of the interesting things that happened is while they were in Nagasaki, he saw an old Japanese soldier carrying a knapsack walking to his home. And the old soldier was devastated, finding his home destroyed. And Dutch said it made him think, what if he were to come home and find his home in that kind of condition? And it gave him empathy for who he looked at as the enemy.
And that was largely the legacy that he dealt with. Suzanne Dietz is the biographer of Theodore Van Kirk on board the Enola Gay, 1945.